Springfield's Talk 104.1. Good Thursday morning. I am Nick Reed. We got a lot of advisories. Winter weather, winter storm, flood. We'll get to this here in just a couple of moments. I'm sure Jason Reimer will also have this as part of his news. We do have the Friday Roadshow tomorrow. And Happy Hour is going to be taking place tomorrow as well. That will be at Whiskey Tango 4 to 6. And we'd love for you to stop by. There are ongoing reports that in a particular region of Ukraine, shelling has been occurring in one village specifically. And if this is the case, it is pretty much standard for the way that Russia has dealt with some of these regions. And I suspect he will be successful in this, and we'll explain it coming up. It's just so amazing, the mixed messaging, and it's like, I don't even know what we will do. For example, we keep hearing the United States, and this again recently, oh, we are dispatching 3,000 troops over here. We're doing this in order to really make sure that Russia knows that we're serious, but at the same time, we've said we're not going to send troops into Ukraine. So it's like, why are we doing, what do we expect to get out of it? Generally speaking, right, the idea about or behind deploying troops, it is to send a message that we will beat you. Like we are moving around, we're ready to fight, and we will beat you. But while on one hand we are saying that we are, and we are doing this, we're moving troops around and claiming that that is a sign to Russia not to mess around when it comes to Ukraine, we've also declared that, well, we're not going to actually do anything in Ukraine. And I'm not arguing that we should. That's a whole nother debate. But it's almost as if people in Washington have become so accustomed with theater and people knowing that what they do is just theater, they don't even try to hide it any longer. When you openly let the enemy know, we will not go in and fight you. If you go into Ukraine, we're not going to send troops in. But then you move troops around and say that that is a sign of how adamant you are in opposition to Russia. It's very odd and unusual messaging. Russia, of course, continues to claim that they're not going to invade. Ukraine has been taking this very interesting approach of, hey, let's not freak out here. And I think I know why this is. We'll get to that in a moment. While the people who are running the country now are saying you can't trust Russia, let me tell you one of the biggest problems right now. The people who are in charge of the country right now, the people who are telling us, hey, don't trust Russia, this is what they're actually doing, are the same people who spent 4 years falsely claiming that Russia colluded with Trump in order to rig the election. Literally many of the exact same people. And we know that that, of course, was a lie. They were willing to either just accept information on face value that had no evidence to it at all, or sometimes, and I believe many of the higher-ups, and evidence points to this, were outright lying about that. They knew that there was no collusion between Russia and Trump. So the very people today, in front of the entire world, who are saying, listen, you need to trust us. We're telling you don't trust Russia. Russia, of course, is saying that we're not telling the truth. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I believe Putin over Biden and Ned Price and all of these folks that are in control right now on our end. You can't trust either side. Putin clearly lies when it serves him. And Biden, and they, it isn't just a matter of lying about this or that politically speaking. When it comes to Russia itself, I mean, we, for the last four, well, I mean, still to some degree they carry it on, but during the Trump years, almost every day, the Democrat establishment, and even some that were Republican establishment or portrayed themselves as Republican, were out there lying about what Russia was doing. So when I hear the United States saying, well, hey, we've got imagery that shows, and this is some of what we're saying, imagery that shows they're setting up hospitals along the border, that being the Russians. And while, yeah, they moved some troops out, they moved 7,000 or 9,000 more in to replace those troops. And so this is a head fake. I'm like, well, maybe. Yeah, that could be. I mean, that seems like something Putin would do. But lying about Putin is also something that we know that Biden has done. And that entire crew, including those who are running the State Department today. Jason Ryman now with the latest news update. The First Alert forecast. All right, there's a lot here. There's, first off, a winter weather advisory in effect for areas along and north of I-44. Then a winter weather advisory will kick into effect for areas south of 44 starting at 9. So north of 44 as we speak, after 9 o'clock, it's going to drop down to areas below 44. A winter storm warning specifically for St. Clair County kicking in at 9 o'clock this morning. Flood advisory until 10 for areas south and east of Springfield. Outside of that, of course, today, mix of rain, freezing rain, sleet through the morning, turning to snow in the afternoon. Temperatures are going to fall through the day down to around 24. Clear overnight, 11, 44 for a high tomorrow. So anything that might be there, it will be melting away, definitely melted away, and safe driving conditions are expected by the time we have our happy hour from 4 to 6 tomorrow at Whiskey Tango. And Saturday, sunny with a high of 50. There are reports, as we speak, there is shelling that is occurring in a village in Ukraine, and this is in the Donbas area. This is an area in which there is an agreement that was made 8 years ago, I believe, somewhere around there, because of conflict that was going on, and this was around the same period that Putin was allowed to come in and take about a fifth or fourth of Ukraine, that being the Crimean Peninsula. And you have separatists, if you will, Ukrainian separatists in this Donbas region. And so there was this Minsk agreement that was created, and it essentially was a ceasefire. Well, the way that Putin does this stuff is you get your elements in areas of the country that you want to take. We've seen instances of this in the country of Georgia, and again, Crimean Peninsula. And they begin misbehaving. Russia said, hey, this doesn't have anything to do with, you know, we're not controlling this. We don't have anything to do with this. You know, these are just people that are in opposition to the Ukrainian government. We don't have anything to do with what they're doing. Then if there is any military action against them, Russia says, hey, you know, some of those are Russians that are getting caught up in this. We have an obligation to come in and protect them. And so what Putin does, and he does it relatively well, is play as if it's all a matter of defense and protection of innocent people. The reason this works is because he recognizes the opposition. He recognizes currently the United States. He recognizes the traditional approach of so many people that run the European countries. And a lot of it's denial. And a lot of it is do absolutely anything and everything possible to avoid what they feel is escalating the conflict. And Putin plays off of that. We talked about this yesterday where Jen Psaki was asked about sanctions and are these going to be put into effect beforehand in order to prevent because of the troop buildups and to try to get Putin to back down, to put some sort of economic pain into the Russian economy. And Psaki's answer was, well, no, we want to use it as a preventative. And the problem with that approach, as I mentioned yesterday, is you can always, no matter what Putin does, you can still claim that. You tell yourself that. You rationalize that as a way to not have to make more tough decisions. And what Putin is expecting to occur, I believe, just potentially, is denial that he is directing any of this shelling that's going on, that is an issue that Ukraine has it because for a number of reasons, but amongst which Russians that are perhaps feeling that their life is in danger. And he's just simply going in, if need be, going in order to support these innocent people that are caught up in this conflict, these innocent Russians. He knows that the world will not say, nope, we're not buying that. We're coming in. He knows that. Because the world, and this is human nature, the good guys don't want to get into a military conflict. And so he knows they will find any excuse to not do it. And so he essentially provides them those excuses. And the good guys, if you will tell themselves, well, we don't want to escalate things any further. And Putin knows this. And so he just takes a little bite here, a little bite there, a little bite over here. That's what happened with the Crimean Peninsula instead of taking all of Ukraine at once. You come in. You do something you're not supposed to do. The world says you can't do that. And they start warning you better not do anything further. And so he's like, okay, I'll stop for a while. And nothing happens. Other than he got to take a quarter of a country. And then you wait a while. You wait until perhaps there's new weak leadership. You wait just, for the proper opportunity. And then you start the process over again. And I believe that's what we're seeing. I also can't help but wonder, though I don't know this for sure, perhaps the reason that Ukraine has been so adamant about on the public stage demonstrating that they don't believe that there is any reason to panic over this is because perhaps they do believe, based on the history of Putin, that he is going to try and accuse them of being the aggressor. And they feel, perhaps, that if they do everything they can on the world stage to act like, hey, man, we're cool. We're not worried about anything. We're not posturing for war. We're everything's cool. We're not worried about anything. It'll make it more difficult for Putin to paint them as the aggressor. And so they, perhaps, see that there is an inevitability factor here that Russia is going to make some sort of move. And so they figure, all right, we know what he's going to do. He's done it before. Paint us as the aggressor, and he's just acting defensive or in a defensive manner. So we have to do everything that we can leading up to this to demonstrate to the world that we in no way, shape, or form are the aggressors here. And if that means playing it totally cool and acting like, hey, there's no problem here, then that's what we're going to do. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Trudeau in Canada is increasingly displaying his true self as a tyrannical totalitarian. And he has in the past, and many of you have probably heard his comments, his admiration for China and their communist ways and the abilities that they have as a communist nation where they can just dictate people's lives and his gushing admiration for Fidel Castro in the past. I'm not aware of such gushing admiration that he has expressed for world leaders that have fought on the side of freedom, but he really seems to have this admiration for brutal dictators. He just happened to be in a country where, as a brutal dictator, people don't push back so much, so you don't have to necessarily lock them down. Well, all of a sudden, he's dealing with some pushback, and so we're seeing his true self emerge. Yesterday, and I don't know how many of you follow what goes on in Parliament of other countries, and it's really funny because when we think of ourselves here in the United States when it comes to politics as so impolite, and our friends to the north or over in England, they're so prim and proper. But if you've ever watched Parliament, they are allowed to do and say things that you cannot do or say in Congress here in the United States. I mean, they yell at each other. It can be quite entertaining. I'm going to play audio of you, and he's gone off the rails here. You're going to hear a member of Parliament of the, quote, Conservative Party, who also, I know she is a descendant of Holocaust victims, but also I believe she's the first female Jewish member of Parliament. And after she speaks, you'll hear Trudeau accuse her and others of associating with Nazis. This has not gone well for Trudeau.
Optimistic, hopeful vision for public life isn't a naive dream. It could be a powerful force for change. If Canadians are to trust their government needs to trust Canadians. Those are the words of the Prime Minister in 2015. These people, very often misogynistic, racist, women haters, science deniers, the fringe. Same Prime Minister 6 years later as he fans the flames of an unjustified national emergency. So, Mr. Speaker, when did the Prime Minister lose his way? When did it happen?
You're right, Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, Conservative Party members can stand with people who wave swastikas. They can stand with people who wave the Confederate flag. We will choose to stand with Canadians who deserve to be able to get to their jobs, who be able to get their lives back. These illegal protests need to stop, and they will, Mr. Speaker.
I just want to remind the honourable members, including the honourable right honourable Prime Minister, to use words that are not inflammatory in the House, and that's for both sides. The honourable member for Thornhill.
Unbecoming as a Prime Minister.
There's some other audio I'll play, and they just ream him over the coals. He refuses to apologize for this. I don't think it's a coincidence that this new tactic of associating the political opposition to Nazis and the Confederacy of the United States, I don't think it's a coincidence that came after Biden spoke to Trudeau. And I mean it. It's as if Biden was like, listen, here's what you do. We've been doing it for years. And the media will be on your side. Just associate him with Nazis. Accuse him of being Nazis. Accuse him of being racist. We've been doing this as a political party for a long time. And look, we have control of everything in Washington. They probably said to him, you know that thing you always hear about how Trump was saying that Nazis were very nice people? Here's the gas of it all. Man, he never actually even said that. We just accused him of it. You got the media on your side just like we do. All we had to do was accuse him of saying that, and the media repeats it over and over and over again. Come on, man. Just get up there and start calling them Nazis. Call them racists. I genuinely don't think it's a coincidence. that Trudeau has started to take this more forceful tactic of name-calling and associating the opposition with the Nazis and with the Confederate after Biden gives him direction on how to deal with this. Got a break. Traffic update, weather as well. More audio. I'm Nick Reed. First Alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. All right, so there's a winter weather advisory in effect currently for areas along and north of 44. It will also kick in for areas south of 44 starting at 9. Winter storm warning also starts at 9 for St. Clair County specifically. St. Clair County, it's just, if there's one county that gets the exceptional warning instead of an advisory, it seems to be St. Clair County, and today is no exception. Flood advisory until 10 this morning for areas south and east of Springfield. So we're going to see a mix of rain, freezing rain, sleet through the morning, turning to snow this afternoon. Temperatures today falling to 24. Tonight, clear low of 11. 44 tomorrow and 50 on Saturday expected. Before we go back to the latest in Canada with Trudeau just going off the rails and adopting the tactics of the Biden administration and Democrats and the media in this country, and that is just name-calling the opposition, not arguing the issues, not arguing the merits of the issues, but going, you know, Nazi and racist, and you know, just, it's very lazy. I wanted to go to State Senator Mike Moon, and there was an article that I thought, well, I don't know what I thought about it. And so I reached out and asked if he would come on and tell us a little bit about it. And he's with us this morning, and I want to thank you for being with us. So what is the story I saw about you being ripped of all these committee assignments?
Well, you read it right, Nick. The President Pro Tem, Dave Schatz, had threatened me on the floor. On Thursdays, I cook breakfast. So if I were at the Capitol this morning, I would host a breakfast in my office, and we would invite just really anyone who wants to show up. We typically invite the representatives from the 29th Senate District as a standing invitation, and then others occasionally throughout the year. And when I cook breakfast, I wear overalls. And this was a Thursday morning. I had overalls on, but it was there was another unique happening that morning. We have began a mentorship program in our office where we have invited students who want to learn more about what happens in Jefferson City and actually give them a part of that, let them do some work for us, and we help them out and learn the ropes and just give them a taste of what politics is like. On this particular Thursday morning was the first meeting with these students. And so breakfast was ending. The students were in my office. We had five students, three chaperones, three other staffers. And I changed clothes in my office. And so I didn't change clothes that morning. I donned a tie, put my jacket on, and I went up to the chamber. And then I was listening to debate. Dave Schatz approached me from behind and asked me, "What are you doing, Mike?" And I just responded, "I'm listening to debate." And he said, "No, what are you doing?" I said, "Dave, I told you I'm listening to the debate." He said, "You're making a mockery of the Senate." And I said, "By sitting here listening to the debate, I'm making a mockery of the Senate, Dave?" And he said, "No, it's what you're wearing." And I said, "What are you talking about? I've got a shirt and a tie and a jacket and boots." And he said, "Well, if you don't go change right now, there'll be ramifications." At that point, I stood up and said, "What kind of ramifications are you talking about, Dave?" And he said, "Well, we'll just see how that works out." So I immediately spun around and I addressed the president of the Senate, who at that time was Mike Kehoe. He was standing at the dais. And so I ranted for a minute, and I asked him, "Mr. President, what have I violated here? Is there a Senate tradition or a rule that I've broken? Because I've looked through the rule book, and I can't find a single one." And he replied, "No one has notified me of any violation, Senator." So I sat back down. Immediately, almost after that, Mike Sirpoy, who represents the 8th District, stood up, and he began to just tear apart a former senator, Jim Lemke. He was trying to make it look like he was an evil person, and it was cutting words that he used. Not a peep was said about Mike Searpoy's rant. And so you have one senator who was wearing overalls, apparently breaking some type of Senate tradition or the rules of the Senate with regard to attire, and I'm stripped of my committees. Mike Searpoy, on the other hand, a blatant violation of Senate rules or Senate decorum, and not a word is said about it. And so I think what you have here is not more about or much about wearing overalls on the Senate floor. It's just another excuse for those who oppose freedom and liberty to use to silence someone like me.
Well, and I'll tell you,
we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, the couple of stories I read, it's clear that even the journalists who wrote the stories know what this is about because they give context to the conservative caucus and trying to hold the line on certain things, trying to hold Republican Party accountable for the campaign promises and rhetoric that they make when it comes to smaller government and so forth. And so you can tell because that context is written into the story. Everybody knows what this is. And it's once again, I think, why so many Republican voters really at times want to just give up and throw their hands in the air because they see that the Republican Party is responsible, at least in Missouri, for tax increases and monitoring programs. And then when there are those that, like you, it appears as if they try to find any excuse they can to take any sort of power away, and that up to and even includes your attire that you wear. And I know there are different people in the Senate now, but I just think back to a former Democrat senator who openly wished on social media that one of her supporters, that somebody would assassinate Trump. And I mean, they bent over backwards to say, he who is without sin shouldn't cast the first stone, and we all make mistakes. And here you're how many different committees were you on that they took you off of? Or that
four.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did leave me on some really good committees, and I say that tongue-in-cheek. One is called Progress and Development, and a bill that we just heard and perfected last night was called the Fast Track Bill. You may be familiar a little bit with that one, offered by a senator from Greene County in the 30th District.
Lincoln Huff.
And you got him, and it's a socialist program.
Yeah, well, it's Lincoln Huff.
It's, and it's leading toward full payment of college tuition. I'm sure that's going to happen. Maybe not in our lifetime, but we're leading down that road, and we're allowing it to happen. So, Nick, this is just a blatant case where the left, and yes, I'm calling Republicans the left because that's the case right here today, are trying to silence us who are wanting to protect the liberties and freedoms of the people of Missouri. And it's not going to happen. I'm not going to stand for it, and that's kind of reverse here because I am going to stand. They're not going to be able to shut me up, and I don't know what they're going to do, censure me, or I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but I'm going to make them work hard. They're going to wish they hadn't done this.
Well, if some of these establishment Republicans would spend half the amount of effort fighting against Democrats as they do against Republicans like you and some of the others, we wouldn't have all these tax increases and bigger government programs for one, but we'd have a lot fewer problems. It's just, again, it's so frustrating. And there, as I mentioned, and what you all call and is called the conservative caucus there, that they just can't stand. I mean, it's clear they don't like you all more than they dislike the Democrats. You get torn because I think the average voter, particularly in this area, they're grateful that you're in there. But then you think, man, this party itself is the one that's stopping the progress. It's not the Democrats who raised taxes at the gas pump over 5 years. It's not the Democrats who are ultimately responsible for prescription drug monitoring program. It's not the Democrats that stop the full pro-life legislation that may come through. It's the Republican Party in Missouri, and it's just so right. frustrating.
Yeah, well, I do want to tell you, I can't do this alone. If it were just me, I was standing yesterday for about 3 hours, and honestly, I was doing it because I was so frustrated at what had been done to me, and it's not over yet, but I can't do it alone, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to Senators Bill Eigel, Rick Bratton, Denny Hoskins, and Bob Onder. They came to my aid and wanted to know how they could help. And they helped. And so, fellow senators, thank you so much for that. And the battle's not over. There's lots more to be done. And you talked, Nick, about the frustration that the people have. This causes people to turn their stomach sour and just to not pay attention. We have so many people engaged. I got up this morning just before the interview, and I looked at social media, and there are people who are hacked off about this. And you might remember the Don Kerhoff confirmation. I believe this is part and parcel why I was stripped of my committees. I don't know whether the governor has a hand in it or not, but so be it. But I think all this goes together, and it's not over. And so, folks, if you want to get involved, I hope you will. This is a time where the tide perhaps may be turning, and maybe we can sing some victories. And we can battle against these rhino Republicans. And I'm going to start calling them leftists, the gas tax senators, the database senators, whatever you want to call them. They're not working for us. And if you don't start paying attention to who you elect, it's not going to stop. So let's pay attention and let's vote out these guys who don't stand for liberty.
Mike Moon, thank you, sir. I appreciate you being with us this morning to talk a bit about it.
You're welcome, Nick.
All right, take care. Have a good one. And in this area in particular, the primaries, there are a lot of tax and spenders, and Lincoln Huff is one of them. But you know, Republican Party, just establishment, likes him, and he does what they want. And if that's raising taxes or pushing for free college tuition or raise taxes or give the voters the ability to raise taxes for pre-K, because we all know the government has proven that they are very, very successful at educating young people. These are all things that Democrats want. And I don't know, at some point you may think, Democrats probably aren't that concerned with being in the minority as long as there are Republicans like that. So it's those primaries that we've just got to stop rejecting, or start rejecting, rather, some of these people. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. I want to make a couple of points about this Mike Moon deal and our on-demand section. You can listen to our conversation with him later if you missed it. But ultimately what occurred is on Thursdays he fixes breakfast for constituents, and he had a bunch of students learning about government in his office. And so he didn't have time to change out of his overalls because they were in his office. That's where he changes. And so he just put over a jacket, tie, and on his dress boots. And he was stripped by what would be considered the establishment Republicans of all of his committee assignments. And they use that as the reason. Now, the belief is, of course, that it doesn't have anything to do with that, but he is one of a handful of state senators that have been constantly a pain in the butt of the Republican establishment because they're against the tax and spend policies of the Republican Party in Missouri. But one of the thoughts I had about this is, you know, Republicans right now, and listen, I understand there may be certain rules. Mike Moon, he said he asked when he was told this, am I doing something wrong? And he was told no. The Republicans like to paint the Democrats as being elites. And the Republicans like to associate themselves with the working man. this doesn't help the image of the Republican Party if a farmer who is an elected state senator gets stripped of all of his committees because under his suit, jacket, and tie were overalls. That does not help. Secondly, even though he was told that no one had brought to the attention of the Senate any rules that he was breaking, if he were, there is a tactic that the left is becoming more and more accustomed to utilizing, and we're seeing it here, and we saw it with January 6th, and we see it with Trudeau in Canada, and that is to identify someone doing something that oftentimes, yeah, okay, maybe it's a rule that's being broken, but instead of treating it appropriately and treating it as you would any normal person or the situation, they use it as an excuse to just destroy. Whether that is taking a Trump supporter who was escorted into the Capitol by police and throwing him in a jail cell for over a year without a trial, or a trucker that's sitting in a truck and associating that person with terrorism and seizing their bank accounts. Or taking a state senator who has overalls under his suit, jacket, and tie and stripping him of all of his committees. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Oller Building Company, spell it with me, O-L-L-E-R. You can find all their information under and Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com. We've had a partnership with them for some time now, and for good reason. I've liked to team up with people that I think are in a in an industry that many of you might need, and that is for the building of new homes. Maybe you have some land and you want to build a new home, or just get out of town, whatever, get in town. You just want to have a home that you build and you design, or maybe you've just seen their work and you want them to design it, and you can customize it. They broke ground on a brand new facility. It's going to have an incredible new showroom floor. They have one now, but this is going to be an even better one from what I understand, where you can customize your home. They design, you customize, no two homes are built alike. It's Oller Building Company. I played some audio earlier, and I know there were a couple of people who said that without turning up their radio, they weren't necessarily able to hear the audio very well. And so we've tried to fix that on our end. I don't have time to fully play it before we get to the news here. So I will play that in the upcoming hour when Christy Fulnecki is with us. We're going to have her in the upcoming hour as well. You know, I'll list another example of the elites in power and utilizing any sort of small infraction or violation as an excuse to bring hell upon their opposition. And another one are parents at school board meetings. Now, this is in context of Mike Moon being stripped of all of his committees because he wore overalls in the Senate underneath his suit, jacket, and tie. And being told, you broke dress violation. You're going to strip a Republican as Republicans off of his committees? This is something that the left has been doing more and more. I mentioned January 6th, taking people who trespassed, a violation that Democrats on numerous occasions, including the Kavanaugh hearings, when they got arrested for it, they'd get a ticket and I think a $50 fine. But if you're a Trump supporter, they use that as an excuse to throw you in jail for a year without trial. If you're a trucker who stops on a bridge, instead of ticketing you for blocking traffic, they use terrorism laws against you and they seize your bank accounts. And if you're a parent who speaks up at a school board, the full force of the federal government labels you as a potential domestic terrorist. This is a tactic that is becoming more and more prevalent. And to watch Republicans use it in the state of Missouri? News in 60 seconds.